Well, good morning to all of you. It's nice to see you. And we're gonna have a great day today. I mean, some of us had to swim to get here, but we're gonna have a great day today. Yeah. Phil was mentioning he saw salmon going upstream out in front of our church this morning. So Phil needs more sleep. So anyway, I'd like to give you the announcements first of all, just to give you some updates. First of all, we're going to have a board meeting right after the service today, so if you want to stay for a few minutes and join us, feel free, and we'll do that right at 11:30. And then, of course, our prayer time on Mondays at 2 and Saturdays at 7, and then our Zoom meetings at Mondays at 1 and Thursdays at 1. We're going to continue, and so we invite you to join any of those events. Wednesday, of course, ladies are here at 10 in the morning. And you're all invited, gals. Good Friday, 10:30, we're having a communion service here. It won't be very long, but we'll have some time together on Good Friday. A couple of other announcements, but before I just go on to the birthdays, anybody else have any other updates? Anything else for us? Okay. We got some birthdays, and I think we have the list there, don't we, everybody? So Haley, she turns 9, and most of us remember the day she was born. So she turns 9, and Cheryl turns 39, and so we want to wish Cheryl a very happy birthday. And then Barb Reynolds has a birthday as well. I believe Barb's turning 84, so congratulations to Barb. And Audrey has her birthday on March 31st, and we didn't want to tell you that she's now officially retired because she's 8 years old, okay? So you know what that means. So we want to wish her a very happy birthday. She's almost at, I believe, Kelowna with her family. So been a busy week for them. And then Joyce. Now, Joyce, many of you remember Joyce. Joyce now lives out in Kincardine. And she still to this day, I was talking to Janet King this week, she still says, "That's the best church. That was Sega Beach Church. I wish if it wasn't for my family, I'd still be there." So I'm wondering, why are you with your family? Come back with your church family. I mean, it's anyway. So and Phil, please wish your wife a very happy birthday as well.
When is that?
It's the third, Phil. Get that straight. You know, I can't help it if people get assassinated in this church. It's not my fault. Anyway. Oh, and I would suggest, Phil, pick the cake that she really likes. Pick a type that she likes. You know, and put the candles. I mean, you're going to get brownie points for that. Okay, so.
Have her make a real special one.
Yeah. There you go. And Rob and Gail are having their 40th anniversary. So we want to wish them a very happy anniversary. And so I think that's everybody. Is there anybody else I've missed? But I think we've got everybody for April and at the end of March. So hard to believe that we're into April next week. I'm looking forward to it. I've already booked taking off my snow tires. So go into your auto place, get going. All right. I want to just go over some notes for prayer and for praise. And of course, Ed and Audrey have asked for prayer as they continue to travel west. And then Vivian's granddaughter is having her baby, and I think that was Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And they're concerned about the one kidney. So we want to just continue to pray for everything going well for Heather. And then Paige, I don't know if you heard about Paige. She was out riding her horse, and a truck sideswiped her and knocked her off the horse. And, of course, it knocked the mirror off his car. He didn't stop. He kept going. So, you know, we don't know exactly if that fellow's been caught yet, but that was a pretty traumatic thing for Paige. Cancer, as you know, Dorothy Bingle had a mass, and they were very concerned. No issue. Just fibroids, and she's good. So, on the other hand, Paul, of course, has got a blood clot, so they're trying to help him with the blood clot. He's fairly weak, but they're going to hopefully be back up next week, next Sunday, to the cottage and be back with us. So, it's exciting. God's working. All right. Let's go to prayer, and then I'm going to ask the team to come and lead us in music together. Father, thank you for a chance to be together and to praise your name and to bless you for who you are. Lord, thank you that we are a church that believes in prayer and praying for one another. And Lord, our family is scattered all over. Our church family We think of Joyce and her birthday this week, and she's over in Concord, and others are, Haley out to the west as well, and Simerson's out in Alberta, and family all over the place. And yet we know that wherever they are, you're with Ed and Audrey in BC, and you're with Beth in Halifax, and wherever our families are, you're with them. And with our church family here in the beach, that you're touching people like Monica and just bringing them health and strength. And Father, we just bless your name. We pray for those who can't be here with us today, that your spirit would be with them in such a powerful way that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt. We pray for Lynn today, and we ask, oh God, that she would have a great sense of peace in all the uncertainty of feeling that she was violated by somebody literally coming into her home. Lord, give her a sense of protection. We pray for Kathy's friend, Catherine, with all that she's dealing with, this facial cancer, that your spirit would be upon Catherine, and remind her that her beauty is more than just simply skin deep. You love her. She's your daughter. For Donna's friend, Sue, all that she's going through with the death of her husband. And Father, for these that are going through cancer issues and are waiting results, Susan, for her results in the court, and others that are waiting to get in to see people and have assessments, Kathy with her allergies. Lord, all of these things are important, and you know about every one of them. And so we just appeal to you today to touch each person according to what you feel they need, and in a way that would really show them how much you love them. And Father, as we head into this new week, this last week of March into April, as we head into Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, remind us that our hope is bigger than any COVID, any virus, any war, any dispute that Satan might have with us. We serve a God who is victorious, a King who sits on his throne, a Spirit who comforts us. And so, Lord, we just want to bless you now as we sing and praise your name. Thank you for the chance and privilege we have of being here together. In your powerful name we pray. Amen and amen. Team, thank you. Just before I begin to preach this morning, I just wanted to make a comment. I understand somebody in the church said, because I don't wear a mask, they're not coming to church. And as I want to reiterate, I can't wear a mask because I have a medical exemption. And that goes back to, if you remember, Christmas Eve of 2016, I started coughing. And I coughed for 3 solid weeks, burst every capillary in my back and my stomach, was in the emerge 5 times. And then because of excessive coughing, broke a rib, severed an artery. I got rushed up to the hospital in Owen Sound. They had to do emergency surgery because I had bled 4 liters of blood into my lung area, my pleura, and almost moved my lung right out of its casing, and it was a 1/2 inch from being a collapsed lung, and then I was 3 or 4 days in hospital. So the reality is, if I try to wear a mask, then I can't breathe and I choke up, and so I'm, you know, trying my best to wear a shield, but I know that many of you here understand that. So I'm hoping whoever that person is, if you're listening today or watching this, that this will now answer your questions, and I hope to see you on Good Friday and obviously Easter Sunday. Also bears the question for all of us, I think if we have a question about somebody, we need to ask them. Amen. I think most people are very approachable. I think, and I'm as guilty as anybody, I have a tendency to go to talk to somebody else about somebody else, rather than going to that second person and saying, okay, you've got an issue, can you explain it to me? So I hope that, you know, in all of these things with masks and vaccinations and everything, that it doesn't cut us off from having better communication with people. All right? I want to talk today on Palm Sunday about what happened 5 days before a murder. And many of you know the situation. It's not new. It's a story that's very familiar. But I think I want to reiterate a couple of things. First of all, for the 3 years that Jesus walked on the face of the earth, he pretty well went nonstop. Whether he was up in the north, the Sea of Galilee region, and Capernaum, Magdala, and the various towns up there, or down into Bethany and Jericho and Jerusalem in the south, you know, if we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's going nonstop. and there isn't much time to rest. Yes, he did go away and pray, and yes, he did various things, but the reality is that he was going nonstop, and he did amazing things for people. He healed them. He fed them. He resurrected their dead. He did so many incredible things, and it's fascinating that I think John articulates it so well, and you'll see this in John 21 and verse 25, and he says, now there are also so many other things that Jesus did, were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. I think it must have been fantastic to have walked on the face of the earth when Jesus walked here. It must have been a marvelous experience. You know, statistically, if you look at it, for all the miracles that are listed by the four gospel writers, you take the total population of Israel at the time, and at least one in four were directly healed. Directly healed. We're not even talking fed or raised from the dead. Just the incredible impact that Jesus had. I mean, Jesus was known, and Jesus was loved. Jesus was loved. And the last week before his crucifixion, it's a very basic story. Saturday, he's in the home of Bethany, in Bethany, of Mary and Martha and the newly resurrected brother, their brother, Lazarus. Jesus is just having the day with them. You know, on the one hand, he's the Son of God, he's divine, he's all powerful. And the next day, here he is having breakfast with a family. He can relate to every aspect of our lives. And so as he is early then on the next morning, which is our Sunday morning as we think of it, 5 days before he was murdered, he enters into Jerusalem. And Matthew says exactly what Jesus stated. And here's Jesus' words. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks, and he sat down on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before Jesus and those that followed him were what? What's the word? Shouting! Oh, yeah, here comes Jesus. Oh, you know that guy? Yeah, I saw him in Nazareth there a couple of months ago. Oh, yeah, he's been up wandering around our area too. Yeah, you know him? Oh, they were pumped. I mean, I could hear cheers coming down our street when the Leafs won in overtime last night. But that ain't nothing in comparison. I got to tell you. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, there was a lot of hooting and hollering and carrying on. And people were so excited as they cut the branches, as they laid their cloaks down. And what did they shout? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, how much of the city? The entire city, the whole city went, hokey smokes, what is this? Because there hadn't been that kind of noise in a long time. The markets may be noisy, but this is a unified sound of what? Of praise to God Almighty. And of course, then Jesus, and we know that in the story, he kicked the money changers out because they were making the temple not a place of prayer, but a place of profit. And he heads back and he goes and he continues to love on the people. So after he walks out of Jerusalem, here's what we have. Matthew says, and the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he what? On Sunday, yes. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, they went, yippee, what a great guy. He's the kind of guy I like to follow. And they saw the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant and they said to themselves, do you hear what they're saying? I mean, Jesus could have really been sarcastic. Well, what do you mean? What? I don't hear anything. Matthew, do you hear anything? John, do you hear? But he says, no, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise. And we know that if we don't praise him, the very stones and rocks are going to praise him. But everybody around these spiritual leaders were praising the Lord because they loved him. He was an amazing God. And then, of course, then the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, John records this in chapter 12, and Jesus raised him from the dead, they continued to bear witness. And the reason why the crowd had gone out to meet Jesus was they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And so they should. The world should go after Jesus. I was sad when I was driving along today. I was watching people going into various clubs along the River Road route. There were women going into yoga. There were other people going into Dollarama. There were people going in for their coffee. And I'm not saying we've got to set time to be praising the Lord, but I was looking forward to getting here. And it wasn't just getting in the building. It was getting with all of you to begin to what? Praise the Lord. Shout Hosanna. Now, Jesus was also hated. And I think we often forget that. Because if you look at after 3 years of the miracles and after 3 years of the healings and the demonic exorcisms, the Jewish spiritual leadership were what? They're fed up with him. Can't stand him. And the reality is that we can't even trap him. Now, they did their best. And Matthew records some of the best schemes that the Pharisees and the Sadducees ever did to Jesus. And this was, of course, in the final week of his life. They were starting to get bold, despite the fact that the whole world seemed to go after Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've researched who Pharisees are versus Sadducees, so I want to just explain to you the difference. So Pharisees come from the scribes of the priests. So those are the holy writers and write the law. And their duty was to observe the law and hold the Israelites accountable to the law. So they controlled all aspects of public worship, of prayer, and of sacrifice. All right? So they were there out in the public showing what it needs to be to observe the law. And so Matthew shows how the Pharisees decided that they would try to entangle Jesus. And so they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. And the question was, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances." Well, that was just buttering up Jesus for a setup. And Jesus just totally ignored them and made a comment, totally silenced them. Read that in Matthew chapter 22. Well, then the Sadducees decided to take a pot shot at him. And the Sadducees, they're from the ranks of the aristocratic priests. So the more the priests that have a higher lineage and are wealthy men. And they enforce the ritual and doctrine of the law, especially in terms of literalness. So you get an eye for an eye. How do you think they would cover that? They would, okay, you've got to give your eye up for this eye. Or you know what? Your son is being rebellious. Bring him outside the city gates. The elders are going to talk to him, and then he will be stoned to death. So their job was to enforce the specifics of the law. And they came to Jesus, and they too tried to say a question that would set Jesus up. His reply silenced them. And then, of course, we're going to see in a minute that they brought in a lawyer. That was their final straw. But what was interesting is in that week, when they started to verbally attack Jesus, he silenced them to the point that literally had nothing more to say. But they became joint allies because they had a common enemy. We want to kill him, but we're going to talk about that in a second. Well, then Matthew records, along comes this lawyer. The Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees in verse 34, so they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. And, of course, Jesus answered him, and in the end result, Matthew said, "No one was able to answer Jesus a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions." I mean, I would love to have heard the debates, don't you? I hope the Lord's got on an instant replay so we can see it. Well, Jesus also knew something else. Jesus knew that people were planning to kill him. He knew that. Because a week before Lazarus' resurrection, there was a plan in the making, because he knew how much the Pharisees and Sadducees hated him. And in the reality, and we'll talk about the plan to murder him in just a minute, but what was fascinating, if you read the last week of Jesus' life, he doesn't pull any punches with the Sadducees and Pharisees. He let them attack him, and then he decided to go on the offensive. And 8 times he says this, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." And that's his opening line. And all through the rest of that chapter, he goes at them, pow, 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 pow. Now, he was never once sarcastic, he was never once demeaning, and he was never once untruthful. But an interesting way that he talked. And he goes, you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. But I love this line. You know, it's really hard to swear in Christian. I love words like noodlehead and you turkey surprise. But I love this line. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. To me, I just go, oh, that is so graphic. And Jesus was dead serious and he goes, you bunch of hypocrites. You're straining out a fly to eat a camel. And the Pharisees and Sadducees knew he was exactly accurate. They knew what they were doing. And then he goes on, and I'm giving you another example here in verse 27. You scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but they are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. Oh. Well, let's talk about the plan for murder. I think you'll find it fascinating. If you haven't read it lately, John records what happened. And here's what he has to say about it. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in Jesus because he did what? Mary's brother got resurrected and he came out of the tomb after 3 days. Okay? Some of them went, though, to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this," what's the next line? "Everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." So if we let this boy go on, the Romans are going to think it's an insurrection, and they're going to remove us, and we're going to lose our position and our money and our accolades and our attention and everything. So one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." Fellas, what you're missing is, let's just wipe the guy out and eliminate the problem. And what did they say? Yes, great idea. Let's kill him. What does that say about hatred? Hatred had gone so far, there was no sense of God in all of this. Their minds had become reprobate, and now they planned on murder. Is it any wonder when we're trying to work with people, they either get better with God or they get bitter at God? There's no middle ground. And these 3 years, this pressure cooker was building. And so from that day on, they made plans to put Jesus what? To death. That's the plan. We're going to kill him. Well, on that Sunday morning, after Jesus had entered Jerusalem riding on the donkey, he says this incredibly great, prophetic, anguish-filled statement. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered you and your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" You know, as much as I admire Jesus, I can't imagine all that he knew and saw and had to put up with. Because he understood everything clearly. Yes, he was a man, limited in his mind, but he still understood that the very one who had come to give them protection and salvation, they wanted to kill. And so as I thought about this week, these thoughts, and I'll just throw them out quickly, several concepts for you. I think Jesus is saying, you know, the days for you to have mercy are gone. I've given you all this opportunity. You've rejected my protection. You've rejected my salvation. And now you're about to crucify me, and your temple, of course, is going to be destroyed. As a nation, you will head into great and terrible suffering until, in my great love, I do what? What was Jesus going to do, ultimately, for the Jews?
Bring them back.
And we have it, nearly 30 years later, Paul is writing in 58 A.D., okay? Here's what he says in Romans 11. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. But as regards to the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, Gentiles. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. For just that you at one time were disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they may also now receive mercy, for God has consigned all to obedience, that he may have mercy on all. What's Paul saying? God allowed the Israelites to be cut off in the killing of his son, and in the end result, once the Gentiles come in, the Jews come back in too, because they're part of the original family. I don't know about you, but if somebody killed my son, I wouldn't exactly say, you know what, come on back in, I really do love you. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd probably be going for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You wipe out my son, I wipe out your son. That's the natural. But we can really understand the amazing love of God. So here's how I want to conclude today. I want to ask you three questions. And I want you to look at them as they're on the screen. First question. Are you loudly cheering for Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, your King? Are you loudly cheering? Or are you in the camp of those who hate Jesus? In your mind, is he a liar, a lunatic, a fraud? But there's also a third question. In this year of a worldwide viral pandemic and infestation, has your former love for Jesus grown distant or even lukewarm? I think for some who would call themselves Christians, they would have to answer yes to the third question. I want to tell you, I for one, I'm going to keep on cheering until I run out of air. Until I no longer can yell and scream Hosanna to the Lord, I'm going to keep doing it. Jesus walked on this earth. He sits on a heavenly throne. He will return to the earth to reign for 1,000 years. He's got a place called heaven and eternity prepared and ready for those who love Jesus and want to be with him. And most of all, I'm cheering because he knows me, he knows you, and he loves us. This Palm Sunday, are you cheering? I think we need to be cheering more than we ever have, because our God is alive and our God loves us. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this family. I want to thank you for how much they love you. And those that are watching and those that are listening too, draw them to yourself. May they be cheering on the reality that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hosanna to the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. And Father, again, we have this time in the season of Easter and Good Friday to remind ourselves the great truths of what we believe. And nobody can take that away from us. No world event can crush the reality and truth of who you are and what you did on this earth. and no one can stop us from looking forward to the best that is yet to come. And so, Father, my prayer is that everybody who is hearing the sound of my voice this day would be determined they're going to keep on cheering. If they don't know that Jesus is the Lord of their lives and he's a liar, then may that change and may you draw them to yourself. And if there are those who are feeling lukewarm about their faith today, Father, may they be heated up and restored and sense the joy of their Lord like never before. And so, Father, this is our opportunity to stand with our heads held high and saying, our God is a great God. And we bless you this day and thank you in your powerful name. Amen and amen. All right, Donna, Lord, I lift your name on high. Okay, let's... God's people said.